Who are the Gideons? Gideons are businessmen, Christ followers, and church members. As a missionary extension of the church, Gideons meet people where they are by placing Bibles in the traffic lanes of life and by personally sharing the message of true hope found only in the Word of God. It's churches like yours who make this possible. As together we strive side by side for the faith of the gospel to bring people to Christ.
Gideons and our wives' auxiliary, we strive side by side with you, the church, to reach others for Christ. A couple of years ago, Pam and I, my wife, she's here with me this morning, we were traveling, and our travels took us through Midway Airport in Chicago. Now, it's not as big as O'Hare, but it's a big airport. We got there, and we were headed back to here to Albuquerque, and our flight was delayed. So after sitting on the airplane for a while, I told Pam, I'm going to get up and walk around a little bit. And I started walking around, and as I was going through some of the really busy parts of the airport, lots of people, I noticed a gift shop over here on the right. It was a Blues Brothers gift shop. I'm not a big Blues Brothers fan, but it caught my attention. And the reason it caught my attention was there wasn't anybody in it. All the other shops were full of people. There was a man standing behind the counter. God impressed upon me I needed to go and start up a conversation with this man. So I walked in and asked him how his day was going, and he told me, he said, been really, really busy up until just a few minutes ago. And we started talking, and he told me his name was Adele. Adele was not from Chicago. He was not born there. And so I asked him about his family, and he shared with me. And I asked him, I said, Adele, do you have any spiritual beliefs? And he looked at me, and he says, yes, I do. He says, I'm a Muslim. And I had never come face to face with a Muslim before. I was scared. I didn't know what to say. So I prayed. I said, God, you take over. And so the next question out of my mouth for Adele was, who is Jesus to you? To which he responded, he's a prophet. We think he's a good man and sent from God, did some good things. And I said, if what you believe about Jesus isn't true, would you like to know? And he looked me square in the eye and said, absolutely. So I took out a little New Testament like this. I opened it to the back inside cover, and I asked him if he would read the first verse there on the right-hand side, the first paragraph, or on the left-hand side, excuse me. He reached for his glasses because it's kind of small print. Adele was about my age, and he needed glasses to see the small print. And he looks at it, and he says, God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he read that out loud. And I asked him, I said, Adele, what does that say to you? He says, Jesus is the Son of God. And then he started reading the rest of these verses. All are sinners. And it says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. And there's another verse to go with it. He read that aloud, and he told me what that meant to him. I didn't prompt him. I didn't say a word. I just stood there listening. He went to the next one. It says, God's remedy for sin, and it's Romans 6:23. He read that. And he got over to the other side of the page, and it says, Receiving Christ. And he looked right below, and it says, A Personal Prayer. He said, What is this? I said, If the verses you just read, you truly believe, you have the opportunity to accept Christ as your Savior. Tears running down his face. He read that prayer. He had a conversation with God after that prayer and accepted Christ as his Savior. This whole time, nobody came in his shop. Everybody outside, busy, busy, busy. Nobody came in the shop. And he said, What is this line here where it says, Remembering this day? I said, Sign your name there if what you just prayed, you truly, truly believe. He couldn't sign his name fast enough. And as soon as he did, people started walking in his shop. I turned around and walked out. You know, when God says you need to have a conversation with somebody, you need to have a conversation with somebody. And most of the time, the quickest way to start a conversation is to ask them about themselves, right? Most everybody wants to tell somebody about themselves. Therein lies the opportunity that God gives us to start these this relationships with each other and encourage people to look to Him for a relationship. Pam and I have been members of the Gideons for almost 18 years. What I just shared with you would not have happened 19 years ago. We had a Gideon come and speak at our church. And Phil was a good friend of mine, happened to be in the same business that I'm in. And he shared what you just saw in the video, that Gideons tell people about Jesus. And I'm like, man, that is so cool. But I was scared. I was scared because I didn't know what would I say if somebody asked me a question I didn't have an answer to? How would I respond if somebody got upset because I was trying to tell them about Jesus? And so I didn't. After he spoke, he and I talked a little bit, and he said, John, he said, you're a businessman. He said, I think you'd be a good Gideon. I said, Phil, I wouldn't be a good Gideon. And we talked a little bit more, and he left. A couple of weeks later, we met up again. And he asked me the same thing. He said, Have you thought about becoming a Gideon? He said, I think you would be a good Gideon. I said, Phil, I can't tell you enough. I wouldn't be a good Gideon. What you guys do and what I can do are two different things. Then he said something to me that totally changed it. He said, I think the Gideons would be good for you. I said, all right, let's talk about that. Because what you guys do, I would love to do. And so he shared with me how the Gideons come together and that Gideons are Christ followers, members of churches, throughout the churches that want to share Jesus with people. Pam and I are members of Calvary Baptist Church in Roswell. And we come together and encourage each other to do the things I just shared with you. Have conversations with people. Now, we've been in Albuquerque for a couple of days at a convention here. And we had Gideons from all over New Mexico and Arizona come together. And we had a theme verse. And I want to share that theme verse with you guys this morning. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, how many of you here eat or drink? We all do, don't we? If that is something that all of us do every single day, and God's word tells us that when we do that, we are to glorify God. Think of all of the other things Because it says here, whatever you do, glorify God. So I want to share with you a couple things that we talked about, and some of the things that the purpose-driven life. Rick Warren put together the study, and in that study, he talks about glorifying God. And he says that we bring glory to God when we worship Him. This morning, we've worshiped together thus far, and we have glorified God. Says that we bring glory to God when we serve each other with our gifts. We had one wonderful group up here with talented voices blessing us with their gifts, but glorifying God. We bring God glory by becoming like Christ. That happens slowly, but that's a direction that the Holy Spirit takes us in. We bring God glory by loving other believers. And we bring God glory by telling others about Him. I want to read this little part here where he talks about telling others about Him. He says, God doesn't want His love and purpose kept a secret. How many of us believe that? God's not a God of secrets. If He was a God of secrets, He wouldn't have spelled out for us how to have this relationship with Him. He allowed us to try to decipher what it is that we need to do to have this relationship with Him. Once we know the truth, He expects us to share it with others. And this is a great privilege. Introducing others to Jesus, helping them discover their purpose, and preparing them for their eternal destiny. Preparing them for their eternal destiny. Wow. What an opportunity. What a blessing. And what a responsibility. You ever wonder why when you accepted Christ, God didn't just take you home? Sometimes that would have been really cool, huh? We accept Christ, and the next moment, we're standing face to face with Him. But He didn't do that. He left us here. He left us here because He wants us to go tell other people about Him. One of the verses that God's Word has for us is Acts 1:8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So how do we tell others about Jesus? We need power, right? We need encouragement. And where do we get that? From God. You know, God provides everything that we need, without a doubt. There isn't anything that we bring to this relationship except our sin. That's it. That's all we bring to God. Because it's Jesus plus zero equals salvation. We are the zero. We bring nothing of value to this relationship. But God sees us as valuable because Jesus died on the cross for us. That's a wonderful story to share. Jesus says we're to be His witnesses. We're to testify about that. What do good witnesses do? They tell people the truth. What do bad witnesses do? They don't tell the truth. They tell something other than the truth. Or maybe they don't say anything at all. You ever been involved in a car accident and people saw what happened and then they disappeared? Wouldn't it have been nice if they'd have stuck around and perhaps stood up for you? Witnesses make a difference. Pastor Frank shared that you guys have a relationship with folks in Bolivia. A couple of years ago, I was blessed to be able to participate in what we call a scripture blitz. That's where Gideons from different parts of the world go to a location, and we help the local Gideons that live there share copies of God's word with people in their city. And by the way, I got to tell you right up front, all of the expenses that the Gideons incur, we pay for. Okay? All of the gifts that we receive, go to print copies of God's word that we distribute to other people. These copies that we carry ourselves, we purchase. Okay? So your partnership with us allows you to have a direct impact with the people that we come in contact with. You're there. Every time we put a copy of God's word in somebody's hand, you're right there. For that, I say thank you. We have a partnership like no other. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Bolivia. Several years before I went, there was another group that were there. And in Bolivia, the schools have morning, afternoon, and evening sessions. Most schools will have three different times of the day that three different groups of kids will come in. Three sets of teachers, three everything. I mean, it totally changes out. Gideon's had been to a school that morning and given testaments to the kids. And when you offer a copy of God's word to some of these places, we were in Santa Cruz, by the way. In Santa Cruz, nothing but smiles. Everybody just grinning from ear to ear. And the first chance that they get, as soon as they are by themselves, they open up God's word and they start reading. What a blessing that is when you see somebody open up God's word. And their nose is right in it. These Gideons that had been there before us had been to a school class in the morning, went back after lunch, and found that a couple of these testaments had been torn up, and there were pages scattered. So they went and they picked up those pages, gathered everything up, and then shared with the kids copies of God's word. And the other wonderful thing that happens when you go to schools like that, you actually get to share the gospel with the kids. Teachers will give you time to talk to the kids about what does this say? Why is this important? And then let the kids make a decision. I'll share a story with you about that in just a minute. So these Gideons, they gathered all these pages up. After the afternoon session, as they were headed back to their hotel, they stopped at a store. And sitting outside on the front steps of that store was a young man. And he was crying. One of the Gideons sat down next to him and said, "Is there anything we can help you with?" He was holding up one page out of one of these testaments that had been distributed that morning. Just one page. And he asked that Gideon, he said, "Can you tell me more about Jesus? I see a little bit here on this page. Can you tell me more?" The Gideon was thrilled. "Thank you, God." And he shared with him more about Jesus. The other two Gideons went into the store. And there behind the counter was a man. And he was looking out the window. And he was crying. The other two Gideons asked him, said, "Is everything okay?" To which he responded, he said, "That is my son sitting out there." In the last 5 years, I have not seen him cry. Can you please tell me what your friend is telling him? That day, father and son came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior because of one page out of one of these testaments. God can use anything. God can speak salvation into our hearts. But he will take little things like that to show us how he can do anything, anything. Nothing is beyond God's ability to reach out and share his grace. And I want to tell you a little bit about our experience while we were there. One of the classrooms I went into, I speak a little bit of Spanish. I speak enough Spanish that I can read what the testaments say. I can ask a few questions. But for the rest of it, I need a translator. Well, the translator was with me in the classroom, and this was a high school classroom. We had just handed everyone that wanted a copy of God's word, their own copy. Every single one in the classroom took it. We were sharing with them what I just told you I shared with Adele in Chicago. We were sharing the same thing with them. Read the verses. Take a look at it. This is what God says. You know, the beautiful thing about sharing about God is you don't have to tell people what you believe. You just need to let them know this is what God says. He does the rest. As we were sharing, one of the students in the back, she stood up and she said, "Can we pray this prayer here?" I said, "Sure. If you believe everything that you just read, absolutely. You can pray to accept Christ right now if you wanted to." And she says, "Well, can I do it right here and right now?" I said, "Sure." She and four other students stood up and prayed to accept Christ. And the rest of her classmates, you could hear them praying as well as the four of them prayed to accept Christ. I turned to the teacher who was sitting next to me to say thank you for the opportunity to be in her classroom that day. Remember that little line where you sign your name when you accept Christ? The teacher was writing her name in her testament. You never know who it is God wants to reach. You can have a conversation with one person, somebody else is listening, and it's that person that the Holy Spirit is speaking to. Many times we think we're pretty smart. We know pretty much who God wants us to share a copy of God's word with. I say we're not. I say the Holy Spirit knows a whole lot more. So those opportunities to do something like that can happen in places like Bolivia. It's really tough to find those situations here in the United States. I want to share a few stories about some of the things that happened right here in New Mexico, right here in the Albuquerque area. The New Mexico State Fair is held every year in Albuquerque. The average attendance at the New Mexico State Fair, somewhere around 500,000 people come into Albuquerque for 10 days, I believe. As Gideons, we have the opportunity to have a table set up and offer copies of God's word to those students and with perhaps other passerbys that are interested in a copy of God's word. But we're there for the kids. Of all the testaments, all the Bibles and testaments that the Gideons distribute and place, we're mostly known for hotel Bibles, right? That's usually what people think about when they think about the Gideons. 6% of all the testaments, all the copies of God's word, are hotel Bibles. Over 60% go to kids between fifth grade and college. Isn't that cool? And last year, we were blessed to be able to distribute over 65 million copies of God's word. Together, we did that. Now, going back to the University of New Mexico, with 518,000 thereabouts students enrolled at UNM, Gideons here were able to distribute 7,900 copies. Do the math on that. That's 1.5%. Why not 3? Why not 4.5? We didn't have enough Gideons or auxiliary members to do that. I want to challenge you. If you're a business or professional man and your wife is elbowing you, consider if God is calling you to be a part of this ministry so that this ministry can take you to the next level. Because every time you get in front of somebody with a copy of God's word, something is going to happen. And every time we open it up, only book on the planet, only book, you open it up, the author shows up. I can't think of another. You know, I was telling you about purpose-driven life. We opened it up. We spent a lot of time in it. Rick Warren never showed up. He was never there. I'm like, come on, Rick. You wrote the book. Well, no, he didn't show up. You start reading God's word, Holy Spirit shows up. You ever read the same verse later on and it speaks to you differently? And you read it again the next time and it speaks to you differently because we're changing. This word doesn't change. But our life is constantly changing, and this word speaks to us regardless of where we're at in our life. That's what's so beautiful about handing out a copy of God's word to someone. So go back to my offer. If you're a business or professional man here and you believe that this ministry can help you impact your workplace, your family, your neighborhood, your church, visit with me after the service. Mike Brzee is a member here. He's a member of the Gideons. We'd be glad to share more information with you. Now, for those of you that are not business or professional men, we have the opportunity called Friends of Gideons. We can share more about that with you guys as well. So it doesn't make any difference whether you're a businessman or you're not a businessman. There's a way to get copies of God's word and put them in the hands of a lost person and then let God do the rest. There's another scripture here I want to share with you that it's so simple. Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. What does that tell you? We just do, right? God provides the increase. The next verse after that says that the one who plants and the one who waters is nothing. Only God who provides the increase. So it's kind of like Paul is saying, we do some really important stuff, but we shouldn't pat ourselves on the back that much. Because it's God who does it all. So, being able to offer testaments at the state fair, last night we heard a testimony from a young man whose life was changed by God because of a testament that he received at the state fair. And Daniel was telling us that he got this test. He took this testament because his friends at church had been giving him a hard time about reading God's word. He said, I'd never read it. So I took a copy so I could shut them up and tell them, yeah, I've got a copy here. I read it. So Daniel tells us a story that he's traveling from here to Clovis. And on the way, he decides, and I'm guessing he was the passenger in the vehicle, not driving, okay? He says he decides to start reading. And he says, I'm not quite sure why it's set up this way, but the first book in here is Matthew. And the first two chapters in Matthew are what? Genealogy, right? Names, names, names. He said, I got so frustrated after reading that. I just took it and I threw that testament down on the floorboard. And when I did, this popped out. It's a Bible app card. There's a Gideon Bible app that you can put on your phone. So he looks at this and he says, okay, I've got a phone. I can put it on there. And from that point forward, he started listening to the rest of Matthew. When he got to the Sermon on the Mount, he said, it sounded to me like Jesus was speaking just to me. He goes on to share how Jesus dealt with him on his trip from here to Clovis. He said, I got there and he said, I called my pastor and I said, something's going on. He said, physically, something is changing in me. Pastor asked him, what's going on? What are you doing? And he shared with him that he'd been listening to God's word. He said, that's God. Many times, God reaches out to people and touches them in ways we never expect. I want to share with you what a pastor shared with me once. He said, there is one thing worse than a lost person. I'm thinking, okay, what's worse than being lost, right? That's it. That's as bad as it gets. He said, a lost person that nobody's looking for. Wow. You need to start looking, right? My encouragement to you is every single morning, wake up, ask God to put somebody in your path. Okay? My encouragement to you is to have a conversation with that person. Gideon's, we have a workshop called Conversations. It's a simple way to share your faith. It's a simple way to share the good news of Jesus. But that sharing starts with listening. One of the things, if you ask people, you can read almost any survey, any poll that's been taken. Barna, I think, is one of those pollsters that takes lots of polls and has a lot of stuff about questions about Christians. And one of the things is that most people are turned off by us because we don't listen. We want to tell them about Jesus. We got a wonderful story to share. I'm excited. I want to tell you about Jesus. Wait a second. Don't you want to hear what's happening in my life? When we start listening to people, it changes everything. Think about how Jesus shared about the kingdom. He talked to people, right? How many of you are really knowledgeable about something? How many of you are knowledgeable about sports? How many of you have a favorite sports team? Come on, come on. There's got to be at least one person. Okay, here we got one sports fan in this entire room, right? That's it? One sports fan? Who's your team?
The Steelers.
Okay. Can you give me some statistics about that team? Tell me who the key players are.
Currently? No.
Nah?
Yeah. So, but I can tell you my favorite quarterback of their, the whole time they've been.
Okay.
Is Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay. He's got a favorite quarterback. He knows something about the Steelers, right? All of us know somebody that's an expert at something. And why are they an expert at it? Because they talk about it, right? They study up on it. They know all the stats. How many of us study up on it? How many of us know all the stats? See, I think our comfort level comes because of how deep we study and how much we get into God's Word. I'm going to finish up with this story about Bolivia. And this one really touched my heart because after we were done in the classrooms, we would go out into the courtyard, and the kids were usually given time between classes to go out into the courtyard area, and these schools are completely fenced in, okay? So nobody gets in, kids don't get out until the bell rings or the principal says you can go home. We actually even had to get permission from somebody at the gate to unlock the gate so we could come in. They take really good care of their kids. We're in the playground or in the courtyard area. This young man comes up to me about, I'm going to say he's probably about 14 years old. And he said, how much are those Bibles? I said, they're free. I said, a church somewhere purchased them. We brought them here and gave them to you. He said, no. He said, you don't understand. How much are those Bibles? I said, they're free. What do they cost? What does it cost to print one up? I said, probably around $2. He said, here, take this. And he held his hand out like he had his fist like this. He said, take this. I said, no, I'm not gonna take your money. He said, no, take this. I said, why? He said, because I want someone else to get their own copy of God's Word. And he put a handful of change in my hand. He wasn't buying his. He was buying it for somebody else. The idea of paying it forward is the gospel, isn't it? We receive it. God asks us to pay it forward. Tell somebody. This young man wanted somebody else to have a copy of God's Word. Wow. When God speaks to us through people, we really need to pay attention. We really need to pay attention because He is doing a work not just in the person who receives the copy of God's Word, but the person who hands out a copy of God's Word. That's how God works. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to go to a little country called Lesotho. Anybody here ever heard of Lesotho? Yes, no, yeah. Middle of South Africa, right? Yeah. Little donut hole. Yeah. You look at it on a map, that's exactly what it looks like in the center of South Africa. Just a little over 1 million people live in that country. I got invited to go with some other men to help the local Gideons and auxiliary members there hand out copies of God's word. So I did a little research. Pam gets on the internet because she's never heard of Lesotho, and if I'm going there, she wants to know where it is I'm going. And she said, do you know this place is pretty rural? They talked about places you could only get to afoot. There were only trails to get there. There was no such thing as roads to get into these places. We get there, and the first opportunity that we have to go to a school that is not on a road involves the use of horses and donkeys. Okay? As Gideons, as businessmen, we rented horses, we rented donkeys to take testaments to schools that were literally off the grid. Okay? To put them in hands of students that didn't have books in their school. This is very, very different. On our way to go get the horses, we passed this really modern-looking facility. And by the way, these folks, they lived in villages made out of what are called roundivals. They're round stone huts with grass roofs. We passed a bunch of these villages with roundivals, and all of a sudden there's this fancy-looking fenced-in facility, building. I asked somebody, what is that? He said, it's an AIDS clinic. I got on my phone and I started researching. What I didn't know was that over 20% of the people in Lesotho have AIDS. If you Google it, it'll tell you that they're either the second or the third highest prevalency rate for AIDS. So we get to the schools and we give testaments to the kids. And the teachers who are college educated, they go to the bigger cities outside of the country of Lesotho, mostly in South Africa, and they get their college education, their teaching education. They come back into these schools that are not in a village, but they're in the center of a village, because multiple villages send their kids to this school. If they had that school in the center of a village, only that village's kids would attend. The other villages wouldn't send their kids to another village. So these kinds of logistics make it to where at these schools, there's lots of kids. One of the teachers turns to me and she says, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for giving every kid a copy in their own language. And by the way, in Lesotho, the people are called Basotos and they speak Sosotho. At that point, I'm lost. Okay, the rest of the language is very difficult to understand. But we give them copies of God's word in their hand, in their language. And again, when you do that, they are just so amazed that they have paper, pages, and they open up God's word, and you can see the reflection in their face. You know, Scripture tells us about the glow that Moses had when he came back from seeing God on the mountain, and they had to put a veil on his face because it was so bright. You look at these kids, and you see that glow. That author, the reflection of the author on their face. It's awesome. It is so, so cool. So the teacher also asked me, she says, besides telling me thank you for coming and sharing with the kids, and she said, by the way, tell all those folks back in America, thank you. We are one of the richest countries in the world. And our resources bless people all around the world. And when we take copies of God's word from here to other places in the world, you're blessing them with the resources God has blessed you with. We're just managing God's money. This is not ours, right? We're just managers. We just spend it in a way that glorifies Him. Then she asked me this question. When are you coming back? Well, I told her, me personally, I really don't know. Because the way we do these blitzes and stuff, we get a call from somebody who coordinates all this, and if I get a call, I'm going to respond, but I don't know if it's going to be here or someplace else. And I don't know, but there will be other men coming. May not be next year or the year after, but maybe the year after that. And some of the local Gideons that were there now know about these schools. They had never been to some of these schools. She said, I'm sure looking forward to you guys coming back. I said, why is that? She said, because one out of five of these students won't be here next year. That 20% I was telling you about affects the kids. Many times, as we have conversations with people, we find that they're pretty comfortable in their situation. They don't want to change. One of the things that God has encouraged me to do is every time I go to Sam's and put gas in, is to look around the parking lot of Walmart and see if there's anybody panhandling. And guess what? There's almost somebody there panhandling. And it's not to go and just put money in their hand, but to go and have a conversation with them. And that can be very interesting. I've met people from all over the country in Roswell, New Mexico, at the Walmart parking lot. And when you start talking to them and you start asking them what their story is, I would say probably 90% of them will open up and start telling you about themselves. Ask them where they're from, ask them why they're there. Someone will even tell you how much money they make every year doing that. Someone will just gladly tell you they're professional panhandlers. But then you run across those from time to time. They're just down on their luck. They've got no point in their life. They don't want to be there. And so you listen to their story. And the hardest thing for a man to do is to not open your mouth, not open my mouth and try to solve the problem. How many women would agree with that? That's what we do. Our minds, we're all wired differently. God wires us all differently. We know we're wired differently because our fingerprints are all different, right? So the wiring inside is not the same in any two of us. So I'm sitting there listening, and I want to tell him how he can fix that situation, whatever it is. But God has told me, be quiet and listen. Just be quiet and listen. And then at some point, not every time, sometimes they're done with their story, then they're done talking. They don't want to hear anything from me. They don't want to say anything else. We're done. Okay, that's fine. Always offer them a copy of God's Word if they would be interested in taking it and reading it. But every so often somebody says, what's your story? Ask a Christian what his story or her story is. What are you going to get? What are you going to get? If I asked you to tell me your story, what would you give me? As a Christian, what would your story be? You know, I think that's one of the things we don't spend enough time thinking about for a minute. That opportunity to tell somebody, we need to be able to be concise, clear. They need to understand exactly where our heart is. My encouragement to you is pray and look for those people that God puts in your path. Talk to us after we're done here today. And if there is some way we can get you plugged in, we're more than happy to do that. And I thank you for your time this morning. And Pastor Frank, thank you so much for allowing me to share. And he is going to come and close you out. Wonderful shepherd you have here.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Stand with me. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we praise you that you have sent your word so that we might learn of you, know you, and come to speak of you. Thank you that you have sent your Son who has made it possible. Send us this week as your witnesses. give us opportunities, prompt us and remind us, and Lord, help us have the power of the Holy Spirit for the courage and the boldness just to have conversations. All for your glory, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Please join us downstairs and help us fill out our directory. God bless you and have a great week.